good evening. Happy Thanksgiving. What do you have to be thankful for, and what do I have to be thankful for? Wow, what an infinite number of things. My name is Veronica Entwistle, and I work with a whole bunch of guides and angels that call themselves the Coalescence, and we like to work with you. And because it's Thanksgiving night, and there's some of you either not doing too much or you're sitting with your cigar after an amazing meal and your feet up or doing a meditation, so I'm hoping that you're going to call in and tell us what it is you did to celebrate Thanksgiving, and also what kind of things are you thankful for, and how do you express that? The more I cogitated that over the last little while, the more I realized that I'm, when I really sit with it, I'm really grateful about some of the entanglements in my life. I bet you all share that with me. What are the entanglements in your life? What are the kinds of things that have happened that made you into more of a person? We're on this huge, epic journey, aren't we? As first of all, as souls and spirits and as individuals in this lifetime and in many other lifetimes, right? So I don't know how many of you are kind of aware of your karmic programming or huge reactions that you have in you that keep slamming you into drama that repeats itself. But not because of this life, but because of some kind of stuff you picked up along the way. Maybe you were beheaded, or maybe you were raped and pillaged, or maybe you were a queen or a king or a pharaoh, and or you have the imprint of the king, queen, or pharaoh, and then you had to be a pauper. And I know of a young woman who was a very high spiritual teacher, and then in another life she got all caught up with a fraudulent male lover who was a high, not very honest spiritual teacher, and apparently she's been entangled with reactions that have kind of penetrated her subconscious. Through that, it's made this life very hard, except that if you look at it another way, you go, oh, gratitude would hold that experience, because as this person and you and I and many of us retune our soul's journeys, when we get in touch with those hidden reactions that gosh knows where they are, they could be in your fingernails, they could be in your belly, most likely they're in the belly and in aspects of the brain and so on, and they fire off certain kinds of attractions. But when you go through those things, and the show we ran, it was a rerun on Tuesday night, was a show some of you have told me you really love. It's with Colin Tipping, and his book is called Radical Forgiveness. So if we go back into, for example, other lives and experiences that we've recorded in our body giving us reactions, like my young friend who had that high spiritual life and then got caught up in a rather dark version of it, which she's been trying to extricate herself out of for a long time, there can be tremendous gratitude when we really begin to feel it, like, I don't understand what happened. You don't have to know what happened in these other lives, but I know something really huge. And then when this big drive comes up, or this, I meet this kind of person again and again, and I begin to recognize that this is an old impulse, an old reaction, an old drive to conquer me that's been going on for a long time, and I get through it. Wow! Not only do we have gratitude for that moment, but we have gratitude for all the lifetimes that have changed because of going through that and because of unhooking something that has been like a briar patch way down deep in our subconscious. There's a lot to be thankful for besides having a wonderful dinner and beautiful families and trials and tribulations and a big bag of money. And what else do you have tonight? I hope you're going to phone in and tell us all about your Thanksgiving. Also, you can phone in and talk about anything you want to, what kind of things you'd like to unhook. I'd like to send light tonight to people who are ill. There's a lot of people that seem to be having the flu or some kind of, it seems like I talk to a lot of people that are struggling with their health right now. So somebody that I'm thinking about is named Stan. And Stan has a house full of people, but he's lying in his bedroom with the blankets over his head because he feels sick. So what we're going to do is you and I, we're going to bless. We're going to send gratitude. We're going to send Thanksgiving blessings to Stan and other people that are feeling badly. So take a deep breath and bring the light. There's a lot of powerful light. Let's bring light down. Go through the top of your head. And then send that light with your mind and your heart and your breath out through your heart and through your hands. And send it out to anyone you know is struggling with health, struggling with decisions, struggling with business dealings that just don't seem to work out. Everything seems to get delayed. Struggling with a shift in fortune of any kind. Struggling with the up-and-coming fiscal cliff. So one more time, let's send some more light to any of the people and their struggles. And remember this, as we're talking about Thanksgiving and we're talking about gratitude, very often those are the things that we're going to be grateful about later. I had a huge big pile of losses in my early childhood and also my early 30s. And through that, I awakened in a lot of ways and became an intuitive. The big struggle. Oh, yes, I thought, oh, my gosh, this struggle was never going to end. And, of course, you know what? It never will. Because one of the things I learned was to keep waking up and keep waking up and open up my sensing, knowing, experiencing, healing work, understanding, growing. And see what I mean? So there's a lot to be thankful for that looked a bit like a dog's breakfast several times, right? What about you? Let's do our meditation and let's talk about thanking ourselves, or let's talk about the kinds of experiences we're going through and the kinds of results that we could be getting from the challenges we're facing. And let's talk to my guides and angels about, could be your guides and angels too, let's talk about what's up and coming for you and is there something we can do to unhook the energy, the little strings that are holding you in a kind of a pattern that can feel somewhere between a pothole and quicksand and just sort of a vapid, non-focused kind of thing. What's going on in your world? So what I would like to do is start with a meditation that we all do together. And the reason for that is because vibrationally we link up and we lift our frequencies together and we actually create a pool of positivity, a pool of possibility, and we share it. Sharing is a great thing. Now, before we started this, before we actually started our wonderful dinner tonight, I was channeling. And the guides were talking about something. This is before we get into the meditation. I want to say something. A lot of you hear a lot about parallel lifetimes, and we're experiencing all our lifetimes at the same time. And we hear all these kind of enigmatic things, but parallel lifetimes is very interesting. So, for example, some people, you know, the Sandy has been a terribly shocking storm over there on the East Coast. I'm on the West Coast. And maybe some of you want to call in and let us know how it is going and how the cleanup is going and how people are doing and are they getting enough food and all that. But it's interesting because I keep hearing from people who go there and they say New York is so strange. Because you'll go to certain parts of it, and everything's wonderful, and they're looking for good restaurants, and people are getting along, and doodly-doo, and then another section, it's totally devastated. And it's all happening simultaneously, so it's kind of an example, isn't it? And we were talking to the guides and angels about China and whether some of the economic difficulties were going to amp up in China as well. And Bob, my partner, was asking the guides these questions as I was channeling, and they were saying some very interesting things, which is a little like parallel realities. There's going to be parts of China that are just going down really a lot, and parts of China that are going to hold a very seemingly lucrative or polishing kind of existence. And that there's a lot, the fiscal cliff that's coming up, is apparently going to be resolved in ways that we don't know. And the opportunity is there for some balancing and for equalizing to go on. And they were saying that after January, you know, after probably the middle of January, I don't know how long it's going to take for things to stabilize, but things will get calm again. And the panic about the fiscal cliff will be resolved in ways we don't realize. And that, again, they're saying, it, likening it to, well, to the economic situation, even in the Middle East or in China or anywhere in the world right now. They're saying it's like seeing little areas with parallel realities going on. But it's not quite like our higher selves and souls, because you can walk in and out of these in a very physical way. So what do you think of that? And I'll bet you got something to say about that as well. So let's take a few deep breaths. Good, one more. Good stuff. Now let's, I was going to call, I think we'll do the sacred geometrics. I would like to do some sounding, but it seems like it takes me too long, so I'll have to practice that. Do it more of a thumbnail. So let's do call in above your head about 2 miles, a golden ball. And below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. And drop a filament, a gold filament of light, right down from the upper golden ball, right through your spine. Feel it go through vertebrae by vertebrae and into a lower golden ball. And now drop a four-sided pyramid from the upper golden ball to about waist height. And then upside down, meeting its base to base, another golden pyramid, and its point goes into the lower golden ball. So those two pyramids together create an eight-sided figure called an octahedron. Got it? Now, inside your octahedron is a big crystal ball. And the crystal ball fits snugly, so the edges of it push against the octahedron. Yeah. A couple of you have asked me to re-explain that because you get mixed up. All right, now, inside of that, there is a star tetrahedron, like a three-dimensional Star of David. And you're inside of that, and remember, you have the filament of light through you, so it's like you're on a spit inside of a beautiful star, inside of a beautiful crystal ball, inside of a beautiful octahedron, kind of like a big diamond. Whew, what a sparkling image. And now you start to spin and spin and spin in your star, and as you spin and spin and spin in front of you, see a blank screen, a magical screen. Good. And on the first section of the screen, create a movie about you and what you want to become. Yeah. I wouldn't mind just being consciously moving through parallel lifetimes and really being able to see one and the other. Or going through dimensions and being conscious about those dimensions. Yeah. And as I see myself doing that, I see myself becoming able, facilitating being able to do that. Ooh, and I spin and spin and wrap myself in light and move that little movie over to the left. And then we're going to do another movie. In this one, I'm creating a project. And you're creating a project. It could be a home and family partnership. It could be a traveling. It could be a book. It could be a movie. Could be something, a house, a beautiful castle, a world trip, a trip in a rocket. And you watch as all the pieces come together, all the resources, the people, the places, the time, the moolah, all come together to create your project. And you see them, all these pieces slide into place like a great, well-oiled vibrational machinery. And when it's accomplished, woo, high five, and then watch as you see all the resources come to you to sustain your project, either turn it into a business or something that's ongoing for its full length of existence. Good work. Now wrap that in light. And now we're going to open the Galactic Healing Center. Now remember, you all have a great team of beings around you. Some people can talk to them. Some people don't think you can. So what we're going to do is call out of our great team of beings. We're going to call our healing team and have them stand around a healing table in our Galactic Healing Center. And the first person to come in to lie on the healing table is you, or am I? And I hop up on that table. Good work. And then the healing team works with me. Now, maybe you know what it is you want them to do. And maybe you don't. Yeah. And so then you lie there, and they'll tell you what they want to do. Okay, and you can feel it. Usually the buzzing will start and will really amp up. And they pull out the indecisions. Yeah. And can you feel it? Can you feel the pressure moving? Somebody has pressure in your, I think, gut. Somebody's got it in your throat area. Somebody's got a headache. And as you lie there, see that they're pulling out the densities. When it feels like things are really active there, wrap that in light and move it over to the edge and have your team replicate themselves around a fresh healing table. Now, who comes in on this table? Let's see. Let's bring in I know a woman who's got terrible deteriorating discs in her back. Yeah. And she's getting more and more overweight because she can barely move around. That's a problem too, isn't it? So then she comes, and we're going to say she hops up on the table, because then you're magical, you can do it any way you want. So she's up on the table, and we're asking them to do something for her. Mm-hmm. And who's on your table? It can be the same person, or you can choose somebody of your preference. And what they seem to be doing is energetically poofing up or going around and padding out. Remember, your vibration first, and it downloads into the physical, right? So they're padding her vibrational vertebrae all the way up, especially in the lower spine, and then all the way up. They're puffing this amazing light around and around and around each vertebrae. Mm-hmm. And they're pulling and stretching certain ligaments. But as they poof the energy through and around the vertebrae, it's really interesting because her pain seems to lessen. Even that pain in the knee. Oh my, and then have it go all the way up through the body. And now there's one more thing they want, two more things they want to do is they want to pull a certain kind of program out of both the belly, which houses the subconscious. Ooh, she has a very old victim consciousness that's in the belly and also in the brain area. Looks like it's in the temporal lobes, in toward the corpus callosum, and then down the back by the atlas. Pull those out. And now they're wrapping her in light, and we'll move her to the side, and that team can keep working on her. And now we're going to bring in someone else. This one I don't know at all. She's coming in, and she's really flipping out her mind. I think her thyroid is really whacked. And it's interesting. Wrap yourself in light when we do this, because I'm already starting to burp, and that's her, it's not me. You don't want to take on people like that. Sometimes some of us are so empathic, you have to really work to keep that apart. Anyway, we're seeing her, we're wrapping her in light. The team is working with her. And they're working with two things, her thyroid, and she's got some kind of intestinal polyps or something. And in the combination of the thyroid and that, there's a real strange activity in the brain. You know how everything goes together in some kind of flow. So there, and her legs hurt. So we're going to reach in to the belly, and they're moving out the etheric. There it is. Clear that out. Yeah. Because what she's been doing is just suddenly opening up her mouth and hollering, making terrible racket, scaring everybody to think she's quite crazy, but she's not really. She's just going through some, you know how your gastrointestinal holds your all of your neurotransmissions, and the thyroid talks about balancing all that. So she's got stuff going on in the brain, in the thyroid, in the belly, and in the legs. And we don't need to investigate that much farther because the team is just really working through her, pulling things out of her brain. Oof. Excellent. And then we're going to let that stew over. We're going to wrap it in light and send it to the left with her team. And we're going to have the team replicate themselves and bring in the highest beings that relate to them. Each team member has got a huge coalescence of beings behind him that travel through many, many levels of consciousness, many dimensions. Now we're bringing in, I want to say, how about the global economic system? Because we talked a bit about the fiscal cliff, and we talked a bit about, for example, China. We talked about the difficulty with Mother Earth and Sandy, and there apparently are going to be more storms. Let's really focus on not having more storms, meaning we're going to create with our mind. But in any case, we bring in all the political figures that are in position right now, and they're still hassling over a few positions, few seats, I hear. I'm not the biggest political student you're ever going to meet. So anyway, we're bringing in all these people on our table, and the banks, the heads of banks, these are all economic political figures, and there's a lot to do with the banks and the corporations. Good. Yeah. And what we're going to do is the same that we did before the election, and let's call in Bhagavan. I'm a Bhagavan because I've been following the oneness blessings, as you probably have heard me say before, and he talks all the time. Bhagavan, who's the fellow from India, and his wife, together they are an avatar, and they're bringing through, or they're following the downloads of these beautiful golden frequencies. And a lot of us are very aware and very conscious of downloads coming in from the universe. And, you know, we've heard about the shift and so on. We've heard a lot of astrological things, too. So if you read it all, you find you don't know what's happening. But I do know this as an intuitive, that the downloads are real, and you can call them in as if you were calling in acupuncture, but these are on a higher, more etheric level, and you can feel a quickening in your body and in your mind. So let's intend, all of us, to call in these higher fields and frequencies and have them move through us so we can transform and become transcended, or we can become more and more evolved because we bring these through. And then let's send those through to the up through. How about we go up to the perineum? How rude. Up to the perineum and all these political beings and the big mucky mucks that run the banks and that run the economic policies around the world, whether they create war, oil, or whatever, doesn't matter, but they have their hand in all these different huge systems. So let's see ourselves sending up through the perineum this combination of these expanded and evolutionary lights. Can you do that? There we are. See it going up through all these beings. Because as you and I develop more of a rapport with the transcendence or the possibilities of transcendence with these new frequencies, with the evolution of our being, the fact that we're a faster frequency by nature than we used to be as a species, come on. We're mobilizing all that using our intentions, our mind, our love, and we're sending it up through all of these characters who are in high positions. Good. And you can just feel it, can't you? Pulsing through them? Because what happens is we are all one, and as they awaken, as you awaken, as I awaken, as we awaken more and more, we become much more facilitatable or facile with helping each other see the oneness, to recognize the beauty of all life. That's right. So we just keep sending that through, sending it through. Good. Now let's call in some more. Some very harmonizing light. Call it in through the top of your head, then out down your heart and out your arms. And send that beautiful harmonizing light. I think it is pink and gold and sort of a fuchsia. A lot of yellow and blue, and round the world, Pat, all the places where there's been dissonance, there's been a lack of consciousness about all life. Mm-hmm. There's pain, there's sickness, there's domination, there's poverty, and some places are just wonder, right? Let's spread that around the world as if it was butter. Until the whole globe is just pulsing with this wonderful high-frequency light. And those beings, the ETs, they're just feeling it too and enjoying it with us. And have those lights go round and round and round our planet and come back in through your hands, into your heart, whirl, whirl, and straight up to the top of your head. And we're all connected, see? And now close off your galactic healing center. Good. And jump into the star tetrahedron. And I want you to spin and spin and spin. That's it. Now pop back into the room with me. Again, my name is Veronica Entwistle. I'm here with a bunch of guides and angels, my coalescence of wonderful beings. And I'm here to talk to you on Thanksgiving night. I sure hope you're going to call in. Now, let's see, what is the call-in number? Is Bob, do you have that number? Never mind, it's on your screen anyway. I'd love you to call in and tell me what's going on in your Thanksgiving world. One of the things I started talking about was calling to, oh, here's the number. I think Bob was traveling out in the universe somewhere. I had to call him back in. Hello, you need your ticket punched. 888-627-6008. Call me, 888-627-6008. I love it when you call in because it's another form of connection. And in that connection, we learn who we are, and we really help each other. It's fun. It's fun for me when you tell me what's going on with you. I also like to know where you are, because people call in from all over the world, don't they? Don't you? So radical forgiveness is what I was talking about with Colin Tipping, and then I want to talk a little bit about the oneness blessing. Not that I'm advertising any of these. I just love to get these streaks of light that come from some of these global presentations that are going on. And in Radical Forgiveness, he talks a lot about you learn how to forgive by, basically he's saying that you go inside and you really understand that sometimes the forgiveness is from other lives. Sometimes when people have been, robbed and raped and pillaged and all that, the forgiveness is for their own sake, that they go in and they really get in touch with probably the empathy. I can't remember exactly how he put it, but the empathy for the other person ultimately, even though you've been really, really hurt, you know, and I know how ironic that sounds, but if you can get the feeling, if you can go into your body and really get the feeling until, and stay with it until finally you feel it move through your body. Finally, you release it. You don't have to carry it on for lifetimes. You don't have to go out with a defended approach and really carry a defense against the world for the rest of your life. You don't have to be wounded your whole life. And the other thing is that we're talking about the shift on the planet, that the more people do forgiveness kinds of things, then the more we have the ability as a species to shift out of this kind of fear-based, defensive, dog-eat-dog kind of approach that we've been very famous for, I'm sure, throughout the universes. So it almost doesn't matter. I'm trying to find something here about forgiveness. How are you doing with forgiveness? Because with gratitude, it's sometimes with forgiveness, I always like saying this. Years ago, I took a class on forgiveness, and what they said was forgiveness is to mental health what vaccination, this was before the ADD thing, right, or the autism thing, but the forgiveness was to mental health what vaccination was to, for example, smallpox, and that was a pretty big deal in its day. And what they're talking about here is that in radical forgiveness, there's a divine purpose behind everything that happens. And if you're willing to embrace it, that's really, it takes a lot of courage. It takes an awful lot of courage to realize that there's something good in something dreadful that happened. And I like to run back into the fact that in other lives, you might have gathered, maybe, you know, I don't know what you think about karma, but a lot of us entertain anyway the concept that a lot of deep reactions, for example, a little baby who's got an attraction for abuse or something, that could be coming from some incredible experiences from other lives. So we could say, that sounds judgmental. You make him think that he deserves to have the abuse. And I'm not saying that. I'm saying, well, we want to get out of that incredible, what Jackie's team calls the familial chain of pain, the stuff we just keep passing down. Sometimes getting right with these programs and really feeling what's been locked in there and then releasing it releases your entire soul. Excuse me for a minute. Wow. Sorry. So that why am I talking about forgiveness? Because I think that the gratitude that we were talking about at the beginning comes from knowing when you've transcended or you've gotten through the challenge of anything that happened, and you're not left with the sting, you're not left with the depression, you're not left with a huge limited self. What you're left with instead is kind of a clarification, a purposefulness. It's a real interesting concept. What do you think about that? Come on, call in. There's got to be at least one person listening tonight. What do you think, Bob? Do you think there's anybody listening? So anyway, I want to talk about radical forgiveness because we just did that show, and I feel like when we're talking about Israel and Palestine, or we're talking about Iran and Palestine and Israel and America, or any kind of cahoots that power-based situations are in, there's an awful lot of stuff that needs to be forgiven. I remember when we were in university years ago, or probably grade school or high school, and they talked about what started the First World War was, if I remember correctly, it was Archduke Ferdinand. Do you remember that? And all I know is that he did something, but it seems like everything was kind of misinterpreted and blown out of proportion, but that started a whole big war. That's the way I remember it. That's Canadian history, so I don't know. But the point in my story is that if you go back through history, there's a lot of situations that have triggered huge, humongous events that are based on retaliations and so on. And yet if you really look at them, the retaliation, it was often blown out of proportion, right? It's like I'm not trying to talk politics here in the normal sense of the word, but in countries that have been at war for centuries or for at least 20, 30, 40 years, you know, French and English, because they haven't really been at war, but they've sure been competitive. Sometimes Canadians and Americans, it's not based on real issues in the moment. It's usually based on prejudices or attitudes or fear of somebody different, but it's not really based in the moment. Do you see what I mean? If it was in the power of now, we probably wouldn't go to war. Yeah, we were talking about recently about how in the times of the Gulliver's Travels, you know, the Lilliputs, and what was the big guy's name? The big guys and the Lilliputians, and so on. And there was a section in Gulliver's Travels where they had these big neighborhood wars about big Indians or little Indians. Do any of you remember those? The big Indians were the guys, you know, a lot of us, in the British history, a lot of us take a boiled egg, a four-minute boiled egg, and put it in a little cup and cut the top off and eat it out with a spoon, or dip toast in it, and hopefully the yolk is kind of soft so that you get to dip and have goo all over it. Anyway, there were wars in this neighborhood because some people cut the big end of the egg off and some people cut the little end of the egg off, and they had these huge battles about which was right. And that's what, I mean, forgiveness is often around that kind of thing. It's not always about being raped and pillaged, unless you're being raped and pillaged because you're a big Indian and you want, and it's by the little Indians, you see. A lot of it's kind of, if you keep tracking history, you finally go, oh my gosh. Now that's not to say, that's not to just excuse terrible things that happen to people. I'm not saying that. I'm saying sometimes what's going on in the world and really is affecting huge numbers of people is based on just some kind of mindless prejudice that has nothing to do with, like a lot of times the people who perpetrate or serial killers are just kind of crazy, aren't they? They're not actually out there trying to right the wrongs of anything. They're just out of their tree. It's very interesting, isn't it? So Thanksgiving, I often think about things like that, about forgiveness, about the world. We want world peace. There's a bit of a ceasefire over in the Middle East in the Israeli-Palestinian war. Well, that is absolutely amazing. And I bet you there's a lot of people that would argue pro or against that. But I think all we need to do is be going for peace. And so going back into radical forgiveness, that would be very helpful, wouldn't it? And living in, and if we have learned as metaphysicians that we create with our minds and with our dreams, and what we're creating is a reality that's still very contentious, that's still very egregious and wants to elbow each other. I've got the best. I've got the best money, I've got the best house, I've got the best oil wells, I've got the best, and if I have it, you don't. That kind of thing's got to go, because the world's getting way too small, and when we've got, and you've got them, and I've got them, we've all got prejudices against certain kinds of people doing certain kinds of things, and those are the things we need to forgive. It's so interesting because I sit and think about things a lot, even though I'm kind of a chatterbox. I sit and think about things a lot, and we talk about how you're creating your reality and I'm creating reality. And when I was on Jackie's show, I would often say to the team for a while, you mean to tell me four or five of us can be sitting together on a couch and we're all creating an entirely different reality, but it looks like we're all sitting in the same place. I love that because it's so enigmatic, but it does remind you that how we perceive life, what it looks like to you, what it looks like to me, is highly subjective. And when we have our subjectivity in such a separate way, we can't really be unified, can we? We can't really be, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say you can create your own reality, it's wonderful, but at some level, we have to understand that we're all in it together. So I have to kind of trust that your reality, I don't know how to say that. We have to create a unified reality, or we have to allow the awareness of how we are all one to rise up through us. How does that sound? And we need that because the world is getting smaller and smaller, and she's been raped and pillaged. Our beautiful planet Earth has been raped and pillaged, and the atmosphere is kind of goofy, and the weather's changing, and we could turn the dangerous parts around if we learn to share and if we learn to recognize that we are all one. We're all part of one kind of pulsing vibrational being all over this planet. Very exciting times we're in. We're in a time that we call the shift as well. And how are you doing with the shift? How do you feel about that? Do you feel it's actually going the way you wanted? Are you afraid for the 21st of December? I'm not really, actually. I'm finding that the energies are picking up speed. So in terms of radical forgiveness or in terms of gratitude, I feel like it's faster now to bring old aches and pains and prejudices up into our awareness, way faster, and by the same token, it's faster to release them. I really believe that, and that's because the vibrations are moving faster and faster. You know, we've heard the story probably a million times about if we moved back in time to 200 years ago, and then we saw your partner sitting there today, we'd see him as a shimmering light because his frequencies have moved up that much faster. So as we escalate frequency-wise into the time of the shift, which according to the things I've read are like 26,000 years, it happens every 26,000 years that we get this huge download of a different consciousness potential. So I don't really believe it happens in a minute or screeches to a halt and we go, hiccup, we're in a different a consciousness right now. I don't believe that. But I do believe that we are seeing and feeling the shifting frequencies. According to David Wilcox, it's all throughout the universes right now. It's not just here. Everything is moving and changing. And as an intuitive, when I look at the universe, this has been for a long time, sometimes I see even our galaxy moving as if it's bouncing on waves at times. And it goes up and it goes down. And I don't really know what I'm seeing. Okay, I'm just telling you how I perceive as an intuitive. But the more bits and pieces I pick up from people like David Wilcox, who claims to know it, or the team, Jackie's team, or my own guides and angels, or all kinds of other people, I realize that there are vast, vast changes, energy flows, waves and wavelengths and light changes and sun flares and who knows what all going on out there. And sometimes they are really amping up. Many say that Mother Earth is ascending. I'm not quite sure how to take that. It's like every 26,000 years the consciousness changes. Well, to me, we don't ascend in a minute. It's the process of gaining higher and higher frequencies in our planet as well and in ourselves, I believe. And then, to me, what I understand, and I see this in other people who are sick and get better or who are sick and want to transit, they go very fast. And for them, for some people, dying is actually healing, right? Some people heal by passing on through, knowing they're just carrying on to a new level. Some people heal physically, but they seem to heal way faster than ever before. I know a lot of people these days with stage 4, say, ovarian cancer, who are healing. Now, a couple of years ago, you never heard of that, did you? You could say it's chemotherapy, and I'm going, I think there's more than one thing at stake here. Not at stake, but that people are healing because our healing capacity is growing and changing. And I think that, the densities that hold us and create illness are very often growing and changing. I always like to refer, to the oneness blessing, Bhagavan Amma, the avatars from India, whose gift to the planet, like many people go over to India to get transmissions of healing energy from great gurus, but they've set up a system whereby, most of you will know this already, but I'm repeating it, just to give myself some foundation here. But they've set up a system where you can be initiated in a short period of time and pass on high frequency transmission to other people through their skull or through their eyes or through intentions and so on that literally shift the way the brain patterns hold old patterns. We talked earlier about how some patterns come with us life after life after life. And we're talking about how the frequencies are moving up these days. We're talking about how the Oneness Blessing people have initiated people all over the world. This is the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi did that as well, a slightly different style, and I think Eckhart Tolle is supposed to be doing that and so on, where people are actually getting huge shifts of brain potential to erase, to release old patterns, not be tyrannized by what was run through our brain patterns before. It's really interesting. And so a lot of people are taking what they call the dikshas through the top of the head, and they're showing brain scans on the web thing, showing how the brains themselves are changing and evolution is being enhanced. We talk about the speed up going on. So I know that there's all these dire warnings about the Earth having terrible times. But on the other hand, you've got these amazing warriors around the planet. I like to think of myself as one, that are making it possible for humans to evolve in sync with the shifting frequencies, to evolve and become a species that doesn't have to be so limited by its base animal instincts or by its greed and fear-based security drives. You know, I got more than you. You have less than me. That means I'm a better person. I got to get over that. And I see as so many people's brains are changing, so many people's bodies are holding higher frequencies. I think we have the opportunity. To me, that's kind of what the shift is. Is we have the opportunity to break out of some of this dominating force in the belly area or the subconscious. That fear-based, pre-programmed hoo-ha that you have and I have, and get into creating our reality right through our whole biochemistry and our physiology so that we become a new species. I don't know. What do you think? That's kind of where I'm playing these days when it gets so dire on the air listening to news. Then I start thinking about, for example, the oneness blessings or transcendental meditation or... sound healing and all these different wonderful things that we're learning about that I keep bringing people to explore with on Paradigm Shifters. I just see the possibilities right now of a very magical time coming up on this planet, no matter how dire it looks. Well, I love all your phone calls. Oh, my gosh. And here I'm still chattering away. But anyway, I love the oneness blessings for that very reason. So stick to all these things that you're learning as well. It's interesting because we've also heard, you know, apocalypse is supposed to mean the veil is being lifted, okay? And we've heard it in many other times, too. The veil has thinned. The veil is thinning. What does that mean to you? To me, it means that we can see, what is it they said in Sixth Sense? I see dead people everywhere. And that was a very famous line, wasn't it? A lot of you have heard that, hey? But in any case, we see through the veil, we're hearing more and more about near-death experiences. I remember in the 70s when Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's information was first coming through, she had a book called Death and Dying, and I was experiencing being widowed at the time, so I was pretty, I clutched my little book no matter where I went. But in any case, nowadays, there is so much written, not only on death and how to die, but how it is such, what would we say, a culminating process of even the radical forgiveness. It's a culminating process of life that we're all going to face. So I'm pretty interested in studying death. And when I first started being an intuitive, I see all these different people on the other side and say, oh my gosh, I don't want to be some kind of weird psychic who talks to spirits. And then I realized something very important is when I was doing a reading for many people, in fact, what happened is people from the other side would come and talk about what they left behind, for example, back to radical forgiveness, the abuse they did with somebody that they left logged in that person's belly area. You know, I never said this to you, or I'm the one who did that, or it was really interesting to me. So whenever anybody started, finally I got it. When people started showing up from the other side, we'd stop and listen, and we'd find out what the message was back and forth. Sometimes they're warnings, sometimes they're healings. Most of the time they were healings, unhooking from something that kept someone limited. And because of the love on both sides, they wanted forgiveness. They wanted radical forgiveness so the person didn't have to live out subconscious programming, all that stuff that we're so sick and tired of. So the long and the short of that is that I've talked to a number of people. Of course, I'm talking about myself and my work. I talk to people on the other side all the time. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. But next Tuesday at 8 o'clock, I'm talking to a woman whose name is Asant. I always do this. I don't bring my book here. Her name is Asant, and she's got wonderful, wonderful book. She's an intuitive, Julia Assant. She's an intuitive, and her book is just filled with stories about people from the other side, research from when they started to chronologue, what kinds of information comes usually from people on the other side. And it's just really building up. We all know who John Edwards is and people like that, but there's a number of people talking to spirits, including me. But we're going to be talking to Julia Assant about her book and her research, and it's called The Last Frontier, Exploring Afterlife and Transforming Our Fear of Death. Because back to this vibrational shift that's going on, I can't help but believe that we're able to see beyond like we never could before. We can move through dimensions like we never could before. It's getting so that, I've already said it, I guess. It's just getting so that so many beings come through from the other side in order to unhook us from what Jackie and her team will call the familial chain of pain, which is the stuff that we blindly and cellularly and DNA-ly send down through our generations. I keep learning how when you get unhooked from someone, and I've had some very personal experiences with people on the other side as well, but as you get unhooked from their DNA, or as they come to terms with something on the other side and go, forgive me, this is what I did, but I finally am freed, then you yourself are freed as well, and your children, and the gene pool is shifted. I mean, that's pretty exciting. Talk about a shift, isn't it? So I hope you'll tune in at 8 o'clock on Tuesday night here on lovely BBS Radio, and we'll talk to Julia Assant. This book is called The Last Frontier, and it's got a foreword by Larry Dossey, but I'm absolutely tickled by this book. And I just want to remind you that some years ago, when we were first doing Paradigm Shifters, there was a wonderful woman named Juliette Nightingale. And we had her on, Bob and I live down here on the water, and it's very beautiful. It's an eastern exposure, and it was a beautiful night. We were talking to her about near-death experiences, and she was talking about a lot of different people's experiences and so on. And it was very etheric, and this enormous rainbow went across the front of our place. It was a huge rainbow, and Bob took a cell phone picture, which we sent to her while she was live on air. Anyway, it was a wonderful show. She died about a year and a half later. And then one night, listening to random interviews, when I don't sleep, I just let the interviews run in the background on my iPhone. There was Juliette Nightingale's sweet voice, and it was a really good interview that I reheard. It was probably 2 years or 2.5 years later. So we replayed it, and guess what happened? The same thing. The rainbow went across in front of our window while that rerun, a couple of years later, was running. And he has a picture of it. Bob has a picture of it. But isn't that a wonderful story where you go, wow. So it's like here we are rising in frequency. Our potential to be magical, to really create, is way beyond anything that we can imagine from before, mostly because the frequencies are moving and because your connection and mine with our ability to create and connect with higher beings is much stronger. So tune in on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, and let's just think about the shift. So this is Veronica. Oh, Bob's reminding me that we have a, tonight it's going to be for a whole week, you're going to get free archives from Paradigm Shifters and from Radiance by Design. We're opening it for your pleasure. And also, just check in, Paradigm Shifters or Radiance by Design. You can listen to any of the old interviews, and some of them are really good. I think most of them are really good. Check out Colin Tippings if you didn't listen to last Tuesday's show. It's from about a year and a half ago, I think. And also, my name is Veronica Antwistle, and I have a new website. I'm just getting going on the blog. I'm tweeting. I'm only tweeting a little bit because I'm not really good at it yet, but I'm tweeting. Yeah, and there's a button on my website so you can sign up and tune in and get my latest I think RSSP, you know what, I'm not good at this yet. But anyway, I have a new website, so please check it out. Any feedback you'd like to send me, I would appreciate very much, whether it's about these shows, about suggested guests, about other shows that you've seen when you do your free archiving cruising, and I hope you've had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Thank you so much for listening. Many, many blessings. Much love to all of you. Good night. Oh, my website's VeronicaEntwistle.com. Veronica Entwistle, no H in Entwistle.com. Good night and much love.